Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We're glad to see everyone out today. Let's all stand, and our nation recognizes this weekend as Veterans Day. So we're going to start with 259. Everyone stand.
Everybody that is a veteran of our armed forces, would you please stand up? We'd like to, with the song, we'd like to remember you, but also we want you to be recognized too. Amen. Thank you for your service.
All right. Let's turn over to page 78. Page 78. An old spiritual song, I Will Be Glad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brad. Thank you for the good songs this morning. It being Veterans Day yesterday and in remembrance, I thought it was proper for us to remember our veterans. And I done thought I was going to do it during this part of the service. But since Brother Brad opened up with it, I thought, well, it fits right in right there at that part. And but I do appreciate all of our men in service, whether they do it through the armed forces or even like our firemen and our police officers. I'm thankful for all of them. I am. They do more than we realize sometimes, I believe, and put their lives in jeopardy so many times. And I'm just thankful for each and every one that does that service. Now, on the other hand, we have an army also, and it's called the Lord's Church. And you are fighting a great battle also. These men and women that have stood today as far as veterans of our armed forces, they have fought a great battle that we might have freedom. But we fight a battle today also as church members, as service members to the Lord's cause. And we are fighting a battle that we know we're going to win. It's in the scripture. We're going to win. But the thing about it is, that doesn't exclude us from fighting the fight. Because if we don't fight the fight, there'll be those that will lose in the battle. And we just want to be prayerful for one another today, that we'll keep up the good fight that was going on. I had to say this morning during our Sunday school, Brother Seward always asked for a prayer request or praise report. And I said, I just want to thank the Lord. And that's praise. I just want to thank the Lord for the good service that we had last week. Now, that's past. I do want to understand that. We can't just keep saying, that was good last week. We'll have it again. We've got to do the work. We've got to do the service for the Lord in order to make sure that we see other blessed services. But to see Brother Lane get saved, I come by him a while ago, and I said, Brother Lane, it's good to talk to you. And I said, that sounds good. And I thought about that with the others that got saved, brothers and sisters, the young ones. And I just love that, to let them know that I recognize them as my brother and their sister, or they're my sisters like that. And because we are. It's a privilege to have brothers and sisters. I had a brother physically, but I only had him for 9 years. And he's done graduated. So I was basically like an only child. So you're my brothers and sisters. And that's what Jesus said. When his family came to speak to him, he said, who are my brothers and sisters? And he looked around and he said, ye are my brothers and sisters. And we are to look at it that way. Now, you don't have to address them, but just know that when you look at one of these that are saved next to you, you are their brother, or you're their sister. And that's a great privilege to be that with God today. Well, I need to hush. Need to go on with our service. Dave, as always, we want to be thankful for the blessings that God's given us today. But we're thankful for the good service last week. But let's do the work that God would have us to. It's time for our children's church today. Brother Sam always does a great job, and I think he's headed this direction today. So, kids, come on.
All right, I won't keep you too long. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedule. Okay? Do y'all know what a summary is? What's a summary? Huh? Okay, for our purposes, it's kind of a brief statement that summarizes or gives an overview of the entirety of something. And let me give you this verse right here. Listen to me. Look at me. Say this after me. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Just remember that. We'll come back to that. How many books in the Bible? Come on. Anybody know? Somebody back here is giving you the answer. 66, I like it. I'm getting you for plagiarizing. Okay. All right, that's good. So what parts are in the Bible? Are there parts? Can you tell me what parts? There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's right. How many chapters are in the New Testament? My sources tell me there's 27. So that leaves how many in the Old? Carry the 2, divide by 12, 39. Okay? Wow, that's a lot of it. Who knows how many verses are in the Bible? Come on, add them up. Over 1,000? I think you're right. I think there's over 30,000. Right. A lot of them. What's the theme of the Bible? Can anybody give me a, what's the Bible about? Jesus, I like that. I like that. And God. That's right. I think you're right. Yeah. About the people that are written in there. They teach us, don't they? That's right. They do. Who has a favorite verse in the Bible? Anybody have one? A lot of people say John 3:16. Remember that? It's good. It talks about, you know, for God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. It's about Jesus and God. The two of them are in there. But I think there's a kind of a summary in the Bible. There's a summary in there. What did I tell y'all to remember? What verse? Say it. That's right. It says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Not just part of it, not a bit, but the whole matter. And here it is. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Whoa. That's it, you know. And the first two verses are very important. The first two words of that says, fear God. And that just doesn't mean respect God. There's a whole lot more that goes into that. And I'm going to need a couple of hours or three to explain that. So go get a snack I'm not going to keep you that long. But that's the fear God starts with knowing about him and trusting in him as your Savior. That's where it starts. Everything else, keep his commandments. Look at me. Look at me. What's the verse? 12:13. All right. We might have studied that before, but I just wanted to reiterate that. Okay. So stand up. We're going to say it like you mean it, like you've preached it all your life. Ecclesiastes. 12. 13. Say it louder for the people in the back, okay? I like you. I love your enthusiasm. Let us hear. We're not done. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Thank you. All right. Didn't they do good?
Thank you, Brother Sam. I always enjoy the kids' interactivity with Brother Sam. Appreciate them being willing to speak up for him. We are glad to see each and every one here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. We want you to make yourself right at home with us today in this service, and we want you to just feel free. If you've been saved by the grace of God to serve the Lord today in this service, and I just ask that you be prayerful for one another here today. We are glad to be here. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Sister Barbara Higdon, she usually sits right here in case you don't remember her. She had asked prayer for her nephew a couple weeks ago. He passed away this past week. They're having a memorial for him today, and she asked us to be prayerful for him in this today. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart today? Let's remember our lost ones first of all today. Let's continue to remember. We're thankful Brother Lane got saved, but we've got a lot more to be praying for. We also got word this Friday, and so this becomes special for me. My other granddaughter Hope told her mama Friday that she felt like she was lost, and so she started trying to get saved Friday, but She never could pray through. So do remember her in your prayers. This is, I know she's no more special than any of the others to all of you, but to Nana and Papa, she's special. And so we just ask you to pray for them. I know you have yours. And I think it's good for us to remember our lost ones from time to time, just to mention them out loud. I've seen some of the lost in times past. They said, well, that embarrassed me. But when it's all said and done, they realize the reason why we mention it is because we love them and we want them to get saved. And sometimes it kind of hurts for us to mention them. It does kind of hurt, but it's because we love them. So everybody feel free to mention your burden. Somebody else have a prayer request? We're thankful to be able to be here today. Glad that we are able to be able to serve the Lord today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer today, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we'll ask you to do. Let's all pray is what we want to do. Brother Tom, will you start our prayer, please?
As we continue worship, turn over to page 53. We'll sing verse 1 and 3 and sing about the old rugged cross and that blood. Amen. Let's turn over to page 84. Pick things up just a second here. Page 84.
Thank you.
one more song, Lord willing. Choir, stand on this last song, please. We hadn't done this one in a while. 210. You ladies, sing out loud on the melody down in the chorus, please.
So I didn't need to be singing, but I liked that last song, so I had to join in. So it is good to see everybody out today. Crowd is not hardly as big as we had last week, but I understand we have quite a bit of sickness. I had my spell earlier in the week. I did go to the doctor, and they said it was all allergies. We did some visiting last Sunday, and they had a dog that did not agree with my sinuses. I'll just say it that way. And it threw me for a little bit of loop, but I'm still a little bit hoarse. And y'all be prayerful for us today that we can just have liberty with the Lord. And let's be prayerful for our unsaved. Let's be prayerful for our church. And let's pray for each and every one here today. Let's pray for one another. This shows our love for one another. And if you're visiting with us today, we want you to make yourself right at home, especially if you've been saved by the grace of God. We want you to join in and worship the Lord. Now, if you're not saved, our prayer is before you leave this service today that you will be saved. That's our prayer. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're going to take our thought today from 1 Kings, the third chapter. 1 Kings in the third chapter. And I ask that you pray for me as you turn over there. Pray that the Lord will take this message and use it the way that He wants it to be used today. I did not get to preach last Sunday, and I had a very simple thought. I guess is what I had last weekend, and it was on praying through. Well, the Lord allowed me to use it for the TV broadcast, and I think today's message will be just as simple in many ways, and so be prayerful for us as we try to stand today. As I said, I'm going to be taking my thought today from 1 Kings and the 3rd chapter, and this is speaking about King Solomon, and he is pretty new as king of Israel. He was the son of David, but here in the 5th verse, it says in Solomon, background, Solomon is in Gibeon, and the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And that is going to be our thought today, ask what I shall give thee. Now, first thought, you're here today, and the Lord asked you, what would you have me to give you? Now, every one of you's got a first thought that comes to your mind when something like that's put to your mind. Probably materialistically, probably the very first thought comes to your mind is probably one of four things. Most of the time people have in mind, well, I'd like a big amount of money, you know. A lot of people have in mind, well, I'd like fame. I'd like to be famous. A lot of young people probably have the thought, well, I'd like to be a pro football player or basketball or baseball one. I did that when I was young. I thought I could be a pro football player. A lot of times we even just want to be great in people's minds. This is materialistically thinking. Ask what I should give you. Now, you had your first thought. I'm not asking for a show of hands by no means, but I want us to take it a little bit deeper than that today. As far as church is concerned, we generally think of church being things that are spiritual. We think of the abilities to do things. Some people would like to have the ability just to stand up and talk to people. Some people would like the ability to sing. I would. I'd like to be able to be a good singer sometimes. Lord, I'd just like to be able to do this or that. Now, the Lord said, what wilt thou have me to do for you? What would be your request today? Because that's what we're talking about, is your request to God as if he wanted to do something just for you today. Well, I told you my granddaughter said she was lost, so my first thought spiritually was, oh, that my granddaughter, my grandkids might be saved. That would be probably one of my first requests today. And that's a natural request, and on that. Now, as we continue reading here today, I want you to see Solomon's response to this question here today. You probably heard this story before, but I want you to see his response in this. The Lord said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this
thy so great a people. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast thyself long life, neither have asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. That's reading the third chapter of 1 Kings. That's verses 5 down through 12 today. That being, I guess you'd say, a reading lesson. But you see a response of a man who said, I'm but a child. Now, I think from what I've understood, he probably was not what we would consider a child, but probably in his young adulthood, he considered himself way too young to be a king. He was the youngest son of David's sons, but God had rejected them, and they had not been put in place to be the king of Israel. It had been promised by God and by David that Solomon would be the king. And this was the blessing that was put upon Solomon. Now, God is asking him, what do you want me to do for you? It was common in those days for the kings to request the lives of their enemies. It was a common thing, you might say, as probably many of us did when I asked the question earlier, Lord, I'd love to have a great big amount of money or something like that. That's the usual thing. Maybe more fame, more fortune in these things. But Solomon, in his wisdom, and notice I said in his wisdom, Solomon was a pretty smart fella, if you want to say it that way, just to ask for wisdom to know how to judge his people. He was already a smart man. But God gave him this wisdom that he might go in and out before his people. I have to say, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but when I stand in the pulpit of any church, that's been a desire of mine, that I might have wisdom to go in and out before his church, that I might teach and instruct them, that I might show them the right ways of God, that I might instruct them how to live their lives as God would have them to do. This is a request that I often make of the Lord in this day. But in a spiritual sense today, I want us to think about what would we want in our church today if God granted us one great wish. What would it be in our hearts today? Now, I'm going to give you a scripture that you're not exactly thinking about, but in the second chapter of 2 Kings, you see another question asked similar to this, not by God, but by Elijah, the prophet of God. Elijah was getting ready to go back to heaven. God had said, you're not going to die. You're going to be carried up. And Elisha, his servant, was following him. And the scripture, and I'm not going to go into details about it, but Elisha, he had been asked to stay back. And he said, no, where you go, I'm going, is basically what he did. And finally, after they crossed the Jordan River, Elijah said, what can I do for you? What do you need of me? And Elisha's heart shows us something about a man. Today I'm trying to help you to get a more spiritual life. I'm trying to help you get closer to God today in this sermon today. Because Elisha, he just made a simple request. His request was that I might have a double portion of thy spirit. You know, when I look back in my lifetime and I remember the different preachers that I heard over the years, not just even the different preachers, but the different men and women that stood in churches and led in those days, how that they testified, how that they instructed us as young people, how that they kept people going to church, how they instructed their children and such. Those people being examples to me, I could be somewhat like Elisha was in that day. When Elijah asked him that question, he said that I might have a double portion of thy spirit. Are we out of place today to say, Lord, give us the Spirit of God. Give us the ability to praise you. Give us the ability, excuse me, give us, cough drop's not working. Give us the ability to use your spirit to instruct these young ones, to show them the ways of God. Give us that ability. You see, that was what Elisha was doing. He said, give me a double portion of thy spirit. Now, according to the scripture, Elijah was a great prophet. He was a man of God that had power with God, that gave him, he was able to do miracles. He was able to pray and shut up the heavens and open up the heavens with rain. He was a man that when God was speaking through him, the word of God was sounded out through him. And Elisha just said, Lord, that I might have twice as much ability. Why would Elisha want twice as much? He saw how that the Lord used Elijah, didn't he? He saw how the blessings of God came through him upon Israel. He saw how the work of God continued through Elijah. And he didn't want that work to end, did he? Elisha knew that Elijah going back home to be with God, there needed to be a man of God to step into that place. Now, the last miracle that Elijah did was when they got down to the Jordan River, he took his mantle, his coat off, and he folded it together, and he smote the waters of the Jordan River. And the Bible said it separated hither and thither. In other words, they walked across on dry ground through the midst of the river Jordan in that day. And when Elijah was gone, what was left was that mantle, that coat that it fell back toward Elisha. Now, here's the thing that we need to remember. When we ask the Lord for something, make sure that we pick it up. You see, Elisha, he looked over there and he saw that coat as it fell down. And he went over and picked it up. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't really amount to that much. But he saw what God had allowed him to see, Elijah going up in the fiery chariot. He saw that, and he took that mantle, and he went back to the Jordan River, and he folded it, and he did just like the old prophet Elijah did. He smote the waters, and it showed the power of God had come to him. In other words, it's important when we ask God for something that we act upon it. It's important for us as we start to carry out the work of God that we take it up. If you want a double portion of the Spirit of God, be willing to carry it out. If you ask for a double portion of spirit as far as praying, be willing to pray. If it's singing, being willing to sing. If it's being a man that needs to do more work than that. Be willing. You see, Elisha went on, and if you follow this second chapter, you'll see some of the early miracles that Elisha did in those days. But actually, he did get the double portion. Elijah, I think it said, had 9 miracles that he did. Elisha performed 18 is what he did. You see, Elijah had power to pray. So did Elisha. So in everything, it is important for us to carry out the will of God as it's brought forth in those days for us. Now, let's go back to the very act of praying today. I want us to look, if you would, at the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're talking about what God wants to give you today. What does God need to give you? What are you going to ask God? The first thing that I want to say today is this verse here, not here in the 6th chapter, but the Bible said Jesus told the disciples on different times, "What if you believe, if you ask, believe him, I, my Father will grant it unto you." Listen to this. If you ask the Father, believe him, that's a key thing right there. He will grant it to you. Now, in one of the other places it says, we are to pray within the will of God. You know, that's something that most people forget about, is praying within the will of God. I remember years ago, there was a young man had a terrible car wreck there close to our home. He ran into a bluff, and there was a lot of people started praying for that young man and saying, "Lord, just let him survive." And that's what they did. And the Lord did allow him to survive, but I have to say, he is a vegetable today. Sometimes we pray for things that are not truly what God knows what's best. But we believed and we asked, but we need to add that part in there, that, "Lord, your will be done." But when we pray, know something, and this is the part that I want to get to today. God wants to answer your prayer. He wants to give you that you need. And this is what he says in the 8th verse of the 6th chapter. "Be not ye therefore," "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask." I want you to understand, God knows your needs. Now, we may think we need $1 million. We may think we need a nice new car. We may think that we need a better house, but God knows our true needs. And the thing about it is, if we ask believing, we can get those things that God wants us to have. Now, I don't want you to take me as a preacher of prosperity tonight. I don't want you to do that. But I want you to take this, that you'll believe God when you pray. I'm talking about praying about spiritual things. Yes, I've referred to the physical things. You know that God knows what this church needs today. He knows that you need this kind of message. He knows what songs you need to hear. He knows how that you need to pray today. He knows what you need to pray for. You see, many times we do not know what we need to pray for. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, what it says there, that the Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmities are weaknesses. He knows our troubles and our sorrows. But the Spirit of God, when we pray, He helps us. You go back to Solomon over there. You think Solomon, yeah, he was smart to pray like he did. He gave God the credit for his father David being the king that he was. He gave God the credit for putting him on the throne. He gave God the credit for all of those things. He even gave him credit for that great nation that he couldn't even number. He gave him credit for all of that. But yet, he said, Lord, you said ask. Lord, just give me wisdom that I'll know how to walk in and out before this people. You know, Solomon was granted that wish, and maybe we'll come back to that in just a minute. God knew his needs. God knew that he needed that wisdom. God knew that he needed riches to do what he was going to have to do as far as the temple was concerned. He knew that he needed all of those things. But God said, what will you want? Now, God knows your desires today, and he knows what you need. But again, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the 7th chapter, if you look at verse 7, Jesus is telling us how to do, how to ask, how to do, get about these things. And he says in the 7th verse, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now this goes mainly to us as saved individuals. But for those that are unsaved here today, it is important if you want to be saved, you've got to ask. Every one of us that has ever been saved, there was a point there in time where we asked. It might have not been actually verbal. We might have done it just with our mouths closed. It might have been a thought in our minds. But it came to us, Lord, help. We may have put it in that term. You may have had a completely different way, but you let your answer, your request be known. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. What did the scriptures say in Isaiah? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He said, seek ye the Lord while you're young, is what he said. These things, he said, and ye shall knock. Why is it knock? Sometimes we have to stand and knock to God to get his attention. God is listening, but we have to show him our real desires. We have to knock on the door, in a sense, to get his attention. And he said, it shall be opened to you. 8th verse, and everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Listen, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? We'll read the next one. Or if he ask a fish, would you give him a serpent? Now, we as human beings, when our children, when they ask for certain things, if it's within our power, we try our best to do that. Paula said something to me Friday about going by the grocery store and picking up some ice cream. She said, oh, I'll go. She said, the girls will enjoy it. I said, yeah, but it'll be a lot cheaper if I go. And Christy opened up the van door last night and she said, girls, really, a toy? If we know to give good unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give to us when we ask? That was what he said. We know to give good to our own. Are we not God's children? We that have been saved by the grace of God, we are God's children. And he wants to give to us the things that we need. It might not be $1 million. It might not be the finest house in Murfreesboro. It might not be the best car that there is out there, but it will be what we need. He knows our needs. It is important for us to be careful when that we are talking to God about those things. And I still refer back to the old country song that the man had, and I'm going blank as far as who it was. But in the song, he said, "Thank God for unanswered prayers." There's been many a time that all of us have made requests of God, and God said, "No, you don't need that." And then when we turned around and looked at it, "Lord, thank you, I didn't really need that. I didn't need that." Let me give you an example out of the Bible, though. In the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus and his disciples are coming into Judah. And the mother of James and John approaches Jesus with her sons. Now, Jesus had talked to them about them sitting in judgment in the prior chapter. And then he started telling them about what he was fixing to go through. And Salome is her name, Salome. And she comes to Jesus and she worships the Lord, and she had a request to make of him. And what she says here in the 21st verse is, when the Lord said, "What will thou do? What wilt thou?" In other words, what do you want? She said, "That these my two sons, when thou enterest into thy kingdom, one might sit on the right hand and one on the left." Hey, that's not a bad request of a mama, is it? If our mothers were able at a certain time in our lives, and they would have had a desire for us to do something great in life, they probably made a request of the Lord. Lord, help them to be right there. And that's basically what she was doing. She was thinking of basically hierarchy, I guess you'd say, in the kingdom. She was looking more at a physical kingdom is basically what she was thinking. But let John sit on one side and James on the other. And the Lord said, "You don't know what you're asking for." The Lord looks at us a lot of times when we make a request of him, and he'll say, "You don't know what you're asking." And he just makes the statement to them, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" Now, to give this a better reference to you, the cup that he was going to be drinking from, remember how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Lord, if it be possible, allow this cup to pass from me." What was he talking about? He was talking about the persecution, the trial, the beating, the scourging, the hanging on the cross, dying with our sins. He was talking about all of that he was going to be doing. And he was looking at these two brethren. "Can you handle that cup?" Then he said, "Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" Now, he wasn't talking about water baptism here. He wasn't talking about taking them out. He'd done been baptized. They'd done been baptized. They didn't have no need of water baptism in that day. But he was talking about being immersed. That's what that word baptizo in the Greek means. Being immersed not only in water but also in dirt. Can you be immersed into this persecution? Can you be immersed into this gospel? Into this cause? And they said, "Yea, Lord, we are able." And he looked at him. He said, "You surely are able." Now, I don't know where their seat is in heaven. I don't know if the Lord granted them that. He said, "It's not mine to give." But the thing about it is, many times when we ask, many times we don't believe. But many times we believe asking for the wrong thing. And God says, "You don't need that. Are you sure you know what you're asking for?" You see, in this day and age we live, everything is instant, right? I know our families thought it was really something, probably 70 years ago when they came out with instant coffee. Later years, we got us a Mr. Coffee and we brewed it different. And we didn't have to deal with the old coffee pots. Now they come out with a Keurig, you can just have one cup at a time. But it's all instant, right? When you pray, God's asking you today, what would you want? What would you want to help you in church? Would you like to be able to pray like old brother or sister so-and-so did years ago? Would you love to be able to shout like that old brother or sister you saw years ago? Some of our young people, they don't know what we're talking about when we say about praising God and shouting. They don't see that anymore. You know, one of my prayer requests is from God that we might grow in the Spirit of God. That we might show forth His Spirit. That our young ones might feel it. That they might desire it. That they might want it more than we do. Double portion. What would you have me do for you? Now that question's from me. The Lord's asked you already. What would you have me to do for you today? I can pray for you. Pray for those things. Elijah had a great ability, didn't he? What would you have me do for you? Brother Brad, that's going to be our message today. I want you to think about it today. Ask God. If you want me to pray for you to get more spiritual, to be a better prayer, to be a better Christian, if you want to say that. If you want to be a better example to these boys and girls that are sitting here, if you want to be the one that stands and proclaims God's salvation, if you want to be those things, even at school, even at work, if you want to be that type of person in those places, it takes the strength of God to do it, right? Would you like a double portion? God said, just ask. Just ask. Brother Brad, while we sing, the altar is always open to those that are unsaved. I talked to you a while ago. It is for us to pray for them. It is for them to pray for their own souls. Ask and you shall receive. Brother Brad, I'll hush. 105.